Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
I have something I want to get into for a few minutes here. But before we do that, one of the things that we've been working really hard in this holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, is we have a lot of benevolence projects been going on. God's been laying certain people on our hearts, and we've been working really hard to take care of families and those who are in need. And a group that's been working extra hard is the least of these. And you guys have been sowing, and these guys have been going. That's like a slogan. You sow, we go. Put it on your PayPal or something. We wanted to have these guys come and share what God has been doing with their giving. So guys, come on, least of these. Let's give it up for them as we're so excited to hear what God's been doing.
It's on the stick. Hey everyone, Merry Christmas. Hey Seth. When you watch God lead you to people that you've never met before, that he's already seen ahead of time, and you go and you meet these people, and he pours out his love on them in special ways, and every one of the people that he's led us to, it's just been like miracle after miracle. And it's incredible to see the connections that he's building in the foundation, the genesis of the least of these is really... it blows my mind, and I'm so honored to be a part of what God is doing right now. I have images in my head that I just can't forget, and the mercies that I've seen God just do and reveal his love for them, they see it, and they know that it's coming with no strings attached. And I think that's what gets to them the most, because it really is just God. And so I just really would like to encourage you all to join us. You'll never be the same again. So bless you guys.
Hello, everyone. Merry Christmas. The things, like she was saying, that we've seen, we're totally wrecked. And every time we go out onto the streets, every time we do what we do, I still come unraveled. It's just amazing what he's doing. But with Thanksgiving, God has handpicked every single person. But there was a drug addict that wanted to come out of drugs. In Portland, we went to Portland this year, and we had somebody from the South Campus that came with us, Trevor, and he had all the information, and he gave her the phone number, I think even his phone, and they called and connected her. We had a Salvation in Lewiston. I mean, come on, guys, this is happening. God is going after his children, and he's pursuing them, and he wants them to know that they are loved in a heavy pursuance. And honestly, guys, without, like Jamie said, that's kind of cool, though. You so will go. But we will go because we are making connections, guys. We're making connections with people that can equip us to deal with sex trafficking. He's equipping us to connect to people on their level. We're being able to just blow their minds. We went yesterday. Gave 10 baskets, or 10 boxes, I should say, of hard goods and food and fresh ham and potatoes. And then somebody that's near and dear to us donated 10 $100 Hannaford gift cards to hand out. And we put those in Christmas cards, and we gave them the food, and they're like, oh, okay, thank you. And then we're like, oh, no, we have something else for you, and can you please just open it now? And the tears that would come down their face, I mean, it was just, they were getting smacked with love. And like Lisa was saying, there's no strings attached. We're not saying, here you go, do you want to go to our church? We're not saying that. We're saying God loves you and he's pursuing you. Another house, somebody was really, in her language, she was saying, I don't need this because where I'm going, she was going to end her life, okay? And we came and we invaded, not we, we were just the hands and feet, but God invaded her space. And at the end of it, she was taking the food and setting up art lessons with Lisa. So see, all of these stories, all the things that we're going to be doing as the least of these, we might have to go out 100 more times. We might have to go and sleet, rain, whatever it is. But you know what, guys? We're gonna earn their trust. And we're going to be able to walk alongside. That's the vision that we have. And it's happening and it's unfolding. We're going to be able to walk alongside and kick poverty in the head where it belongs and bring these people out and above and let them see who they truly are. We're going to show them. So thank you guys so much and thank you for listening.
Hey, guys. On the other side of it, it's just amazing that the church as a whole, I've never seen a church like this that's so given, and when you guys give and pray and help us out, it's like you guys are out there with us. I mean, because we wouldn't be out there without you guys. So that's just one part of it. We thank you guys so much. And the other part is the team. I mean, I encourage you guys to volunteer to get out there with us, you know, because we're going to be doing all kinds of things. We had an amazing team this year. It was just awesome, and we just want to continue to build on that. I believe it, whether you think it or not, you know, you all can go out there and do it. You know, I was at first kind of worried about, oh, homeless, I kind of, you know, stay away from them. But once you get out there, it's like talking to you guys, you know? Everybody has a story. And the third part is once you get out there, whatever we use, yesterday we used food, Hannaford gift card, we use a backpack. It's not about that. It's just to get to them, soften their hearts. You know, Jamie preaches all the time, you know, from day one. It's about relationships, you know. It's about getting to know them. Yeah. You can't have a voice in their life if you don't have a relationship, you know. We see it all the time. People on Facebook, you haven't heard from for 10 years, and all of a sudden they're telling you how you should do something, you know, and that just goes in one ear and out the other because they don't have a voice in my life. You're not telling me what I should do or what I shouldn't do. You don't know me. So it's the same way. We get to know them. We love on them, and that way we have a voice in their life. So I highly encourage you guys to come along beside us and going out on the streets, financially, whatever it is. But thank you guys for what you do.
Come on, can we give it up for these guys? So thankful for them. They're such heroes in our community. If you guys have your Bibles, go meet to Isaiah 53. We're going to be here for a second. And really, I wanted to have them share right at this moment because I really want to share on something very similar to what they're doing. And it really plays right into it. You know, in Matthew chapter 1, as Mary is hearing from the angel of the Lord, and it says that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her and that she was going to receive the seed of God in her womb in order to fulfill what the prophet said. And in Matthew 1:23, it says, "Behold, the virgin will be with child and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. I want us to take a moment, and I want you guys, just everyone close your eyes with me just for a second. We're going to have a Selah moment, okay? We're just gonna ponder something about the Lord right now. And it would be said of God that his name, not just a moment, not just an event, but his name would be Emmanuel, God with us. I want you to think about this for a second, the very concept of the God of all creation would name himself God with us. The creator of the heavens and the earth, the Alpha and the Omega, would leave his throne to become God with me. This God who is at the beginning and at the end would enter into this linear, this limited timeline and become God with me, God with us, Emmanuel. I want us to think about this because today on the Advent calendar is what we call the final sermon leading up to Christmas. And on the Advent calendar, it is the day of considering not only that he came, but that daily he comes. And finally, that there is a second coming that we are waiting for. And I want to consider the idea and really the scandal behind the statement of Emmanuel, God with us. Because I want us to consider the way that Jesus came, the way that Jesus took the name, the way that God took the name Emmanuel. Imagine, you know, God came and Jesus came and Jesus, his life was a scandal. He was placed in the womb of an unmarried young virgin and who was ready to be married. But how many guys know, like, they're like, hey, Mary, you're getting, you know, married there pretty quick. What's going on, Mary? Mary, you're with child. Mary, you're not married. Mary, what's going on? An angel came to me. The Holy Spirit came on. I'm going to give birth to the Son of God. Right, Mary. I've heard a lot of things before, but this is a new one, right? Like, the very life of Jesus was a scandal. When the day was coming, when he was getting ready to be birthed, and they went door to door, and even before Jesus was born, he was being rejected. Innkeeper after innkeeper was saying no. The very Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world, and the world is saying no to him. Finally, they find a manger, and the Son of God would be born in the presence of shepherds and magi, but in donkeys and other, you know, animals in a stall that was probably filthy. Out of the looking eyes of the general society and the public around, they had no idea the moment of destiny that was being fulfilled in their backyard. Jesus was hidden from eyes. And the day that he was born, Jesus immediately was a refugee and a wanted man. And after that he was born, they fled to Egypt because there's a warrant for this baby Jesus' life. And they went to Egypt where they believed that he was probably raised for the first 10, 12 years of his life as a wandering refugee that had a warrant for his life. Jesus was a homeless wanderer. Look at Isaiah 53. It says, who has believed our report? Verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he will grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness when we see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. Anybody ever seen a picture of Jesus as a handsome, rugged man? Just kind of tan, kind of fair. Clearly grooms his beard with the most, you know, latest of beard oils that just hit the Etsy market. Jesus, this handsome, strapping man, has been presented by an Americanized Christianity in front of Vogue magazine, hottest man of the year type of vibe to Jesus. But let's be honest, it says, there is no beauty that we should behold him, no comeliness that we should desire him. He's a root out of dry ground. The ground is cracked open. His ugly root has come up. Looks like worthless, like it should be cut off. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces with him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Jesus. He was rejected by all that came into contact with him. We were talking about the King of Glory, who was the King of all kings, and nobody got it. He was the King of all kings that would be rejected by his own. He's the King of all kings, but his crown was not made of gold. It was made of thorns. His robe was not of a velvet scarlet. It was made of his own flesh and blood. His throne was not made of gold and jewels. It was made of wood, and he was nailed to it. He wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He was born in a manger hidden from everyone's onlooking eyes. He was not praised before men. He was rejected and spat on. And do you think that this is an accident? Absolutely. Emmanuel, God with us, in the manner in which he came was not an accident. God chose to reveal his glory by becoming the humblest of all men. And we have to understand something, is that in this is a context for us to understand. This is the way that he came, but there is a promise of a daily coming.
Yeah. Amen.
And there's a promise of another coming. And we've got to understand something about God's daily coming. There's a context. The manner in which he came is the manner in which he'll continue to come, and it's the manner that he is coming again. And what is that manner? What does it look like? Well, first of all, I want to just for a moment before we go together here this morning, I just want to, I got about 15 minutes. If you guys can hang with me, you're probably not as hungry as I am because you had brunch. I did not. So I want to quickly look at the manner in which Jesus came as a context for the manner in which he's going to continue to come. And it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, there's this story of the angel coming to Mary and saying, Mary, I want you to wait because the Holy Spirit's about to come upon you. And when he comes upon you, his power is going to be placed inside of you, and God's going to put a seed inside of your womb, and you will give birth to Emmanuel, the Son of God. And this angel says this to her, and that word, come upon, is used again a little later. That word, for the Hebrew word, the Greek word for come upon, is used again in Acts chapter 1. Jesus, who died and rose again, after he rose again, appeared to his disciples. And Jesus went to his disciples and he said, I want you guys to wait because the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. The same word, the same language for coming upon Mary is the same word, the same language for coming upon the disciples in the upper room. And he goes, I'm going to put my power is going to work this divine seed into your womb, Mary. And that word for power is dunamis. Everyone say dunamis. It's miracle working power. It's a creative, dynamic, powerful work of miracles. And that he goes, I'm going to put my dunamis power inside of you. And that word, when the power comes upon you, is used again in Acts chapter 2 when it says the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. That's dunamis working power. The manner in which he came is the manner in which he promised to continue to come. I will come upon you and I'll work my power inside of you. And then again in John chapter 16, Jesus looks to his disciples and he says, hey guys, I want you to know that I have to go and do my Father's business and I have to obey the Father and I'm going to go and to be with him. And they said, Jesus, don't go. We're just making an impact, Jesus. We just only started. And Jesus said, it's better for you that I go. Why? Because I'm going to send my Spirit upon you. The promise of the Holy Spirit is the coming upon and the dunamis power that would be worked inside of you is the same language and experience that Mary had is now promised that you and I would have. That God would work his power, he'd put his Spirit, which means that Emmanuel was placed inside of Mary and Emmanuel would be placed inside of you. Am I at the 8:30 or the 11:30? I might be a little back. You guys sound like the 8:30 right now. Are you guys okay? Listen, there is a promise of a daily coming that Emmanuel desires. He longs to make himself manifest in the same manner, in the same context in which he manifested in the book of Matthew. He desires to do it again, and he desires to do it inside of you. And I wanna look at three dynamics that was revealed. I'm telling you, three dynamics, gonna take me 5 minutes. You ready? I wanna look at this context in which Mary came, and I wanna communicate this to you and I. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, it says, for this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. It literally says God had to come and to carry the weight and the pain and the rejection and the despisement that you experienced. He had to do it so that he could become a faithful and high priest for you and I. That he could show you mercy because he identifies with your pain. We've got to understand something is God came for a mess and he's going to continue to show up for a mess. God's not afraid of your mess. He is not afraid of a mess. And he's actually, and I can show you, he's actually attracted to your mess. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it's not just a slogan we wear on a shirt, we put on a wristband. John 3:16 reveals the heart of the Father, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have eternal life." We're talking about a moment that Jesus came was a moment where the religious parties or the religious segregations of the Jewish faith was Sadducees and Pharisees. Both of them had political leniencies, that one was for the government, one was against the government. Does that sound familiar? There was, at this moment, the doors of the temple had been closed for 500 years. Prophets weren't speaking. The law wasn't being kept. There's so little prayer going on that the Bible actually highlights two praying people, Simeon and Anna. It said nobody else is praying, but these two ones were faithful and they prayed and they believed for God to come. We're talking about an hour where Israel was a slave to Rome. We're talking about a heightened political and dark moment. And it says, "For God was so disappointed with the Jewish tribes of Israel." No. It says, "For God so loved the world." That the mess of society, the mess of a generation, the mess of the tribes of Israel, the mess of what was going on in Jerusalem, literally attracted the longing and jealous heart of the Father to intervene and say, "I will call myself Emmanuel, and I'll put my seed inside of the woman, and I will walk with them and redeem them back because I love them." It's actually, if we really want to just make it plain and simple here, like, we were all crying out for revival, right? We all want to see God move. I want to present to you, we are closer now to revival and awakening than we've ever been before. And it's not because we've got it all together and the church is looking pretty good right now. And it's not because there's so much prayer going on or things are going a certain way. It's because of the mess that God looks upon a nation and goes, "For God so loved the world, I will declare I am Emmanuel, God with you. I'll walk with you and walk into it." Look at Psalm 139. It says, "For where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths of hell, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. And the night will shine like the day, for darkness is of light to you." This is who God is. He is attracted to the messy, scandalous, broken dynamics of our society and humanity. And he's going to show up again. Amen? Secondly is this, is that we're required. We are created to carry his likeness. In Mark 2:17, when the scribes who were Pharisees saw Jesus eating with the people, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And on hearing this, Jesus told them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners." One of my fears is that over the course of convenient Christianity in America, over the course of many years, we've created a sterilized Christianity that is afraid of involving itself in the mess and the pain of society. And actually stepping in, knowing that there is the solution, there is the antidote, there is the leaves of healing for the nations are resting upon the lives of believers to step in and to manifest Emmanuel, God with us. That we've created such a sterilized Christianity that we avoid mess and we demonize it and we separate from it. We polarize, saying, "I am not a part of that," when God has actually called you to step into it, and he's called you to eat with tax collectors and to sit with sinners and to call them into righteousness. Are you hearing me? God wants to manifest himself, and his answer to the issues of the world is that he has placed his likeness upon your life. And lastly, has anybody been doing any waiting in this season? Any waiting going on? Maybe waiting for a package, right? Maybe waiting for a check. Maybe waiting in line. Maybe this season has had a lot of waiting. Maybe waiting for things to change. There's a lot of waiting in the season. And I want to present to us that waiting is not delay. It is not ignoring. Waiting is a calculated pause with a purpose. In Luke 2:25 says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, his name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus." He said, it says in Luke 2:24-49, Jesus said, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Wait for the Holy Spirit." Philippians 3:20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Psalm 30, verse 5, "I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, in his word I put my hope." Lamentations 3:25, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him." Psalm 40, verse 1, "I wait patiently for the Lord, and he inclines my ear to hear my cry." Micah 7:7, "But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." Listen, waiting is actually, it's not ignoring, it's not delaying. Waiting has a purpose for us to incline our ear to the Lord and to listen to what he's doing. It is a season of shaping, forming, and preparing for what he has for you in the days to come. I'm telling you right now, if the promises of God are going to be fulfilled, you better get ready in this season to prepare for what he is bringing. Don't adapt to a season of staleness. Prepare for a season of advancement. There is a calculated pause where God goes, "You are going to thank me for this season if you incline your ear and listen, because I am going to place a foundation, a strength. I'm going to fortify truth in your life that could not have been done in any other way except for in the season of waiting you listened." Does this make sense? God wants to work something into us in this season, and I'm telling you, we could get so frustrated with the waiting and feeling like it's warfare that we'll actually miss what God is doing and completely miss a season of revelation. We need ears to hear and not just to give in to the frustration of waiting, because waiting has been calculated by the Lord. And I say all this to say, in this Christmas season, for those online, those here, in this Christmas season, is that I believe that the Lord wants to give us a revelation of Emmanuel, God with us. That this is the season, the greatest hour for the church is at hand, for the church to see the daily coming of the Holy Spirit, and Emmanuel, God with us, would be seen and known by society, because the church let God show up in their lives. The church showed up with a box of food to somebody who was going to end their life, and that person now knows Emmanuel, God with us. Like, you felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit and you called saying, "Hey, I was thinking about you. I really love you and I see you." And that person was getting ready to make some dramatic decisions of their life and deconstruct their faith. And now because you let the Holy Spirit lead you to them, now they know God as Emmanuel, God with us. Because God's daily coming showed up in and through your life. I want to end with this. You guys, tomorrow, December 21st is the winter solstice, which is the longest and darkest day of the year. And when I say longest day of the year, I mean longest nighttime of the year, right? And because you guys know all the days are the exact same amount of time. But let's be honest, tomorrow will feel like the longest day of the year, right? So, but tomorrow is going to be something incredibly unique. At midnight tomorrow night, on the darkest day of the year, on winter solstice, in one of the craziest years of our life, and there will be a cosmic event that hasn't happened in what they say is probably 200 or 800 years. Have you heard about this? Tomorrow night around midnight, there will be a manifestation in the sky of the Christmas star. The same star that led the Magi to Jesus is going to appear on the darkest day of the year in 2020. Okay. I wanna read this to you. It says, I read this online, and I just think it's fantastic. It says, I know some of you have seen the posts about Christmas Star appearing this year on December 21st. I couldn't help but really take a deeper look at how amazing this occurrence would be happening in the year 2020. In the year when Jesus was born, there was violence, chaos, political and social unrest. It was dark. The Magi found him by way of the star, which was the meeting of the three stars, Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars. They followed the star until it rested on where he was, and they began to worship him. In a time where it was dark, light was brought into the world. Jesus stepped into the chaos and brought peace. Fast forward to 2020, it's a time of violence, chaos, political, and social unrest. It is dark. Winter solstice, December 21st, being a time where the day is the shortest and night is the longest, it's literally the darkest day. And it's the beginning of what most would call a cold and dark winter season. But on the darkest day this year, Jupiter and Saturn will meet again, giving us the Christmas star. How fitting that in this moment of time during the Christmas season that we get to see this beautiful reminder that even in the darkest of times, light will and has stepped in. In our chaos, he is there. In our darkest time, he is there. He brings light and makes all things new. So as we look out on December 21st for the Christmas star, may we be reminded of his power and his light that brings for all mankind. He is perfect at stepping into a chaos and bringing it into peace. I believe, I not just to be reminded, I believe that God is speaking. I'm not like a blood moon cosmic occurrence kind of guy, but this one has got my attention. That God in this moment of chaos and intensity would speak to the nations of the earth and say, I led men to myself then, I'll lead men to myself again. That in a moment that feels like there's no answer, that God has sent an answer, that he is stepping in, and it's the beginning of God showing up in a way that we have so longed for. And I'm telling you, mark my words, write it down. On this date, Jamie said it. I'm telling you that because of the season we've been in, God could not do what he's about to doing without the year that we just had. Just listen to me. He could not do what he wants to do if we did not have the year that we just had. Because God has been preparing the hearts of men to look at the Christmas star and to follow him to himself. And when I say the Christmas star, obviously I'm talking about himself. Not an actual star. Can we stand together? I feel like I have to preface things like that because people take things I say and just, whew. Man, what a time to be alive. Yeah. Amen. God wants to restore your heart, your vision, your dreams. This year was not sent to change your course, but to fortify your faith. This year was not sent to change his promises. They were sent to prove that he is the God of all creation. And that he is the savior of the world. And that he will never stop showing up over and over.